Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 15 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Gimel, at the point at which the Gemara itself begins. In our previous shiur, we had learned the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we have written Din Minchas Isha Hanesua Lekain, the law that applies to the meal offering brought by a woman married to a Kohen. We will deal with Hakamitza, the taking of a handful, which is standard procedure with meal offerings. The handful of flour is taken from the bowl of containing the meal offering. That is put onto the fire that's on the top of the Mizbech. Hashirayim, that is, what do you do with the leftover, that which remains in the bowl after you removed the koyimitz, the kmitza. Tonu Rabbonan, kol hanesuos lekuna min chaseim nisrafos. All women married to kohanim, their meal offerings are burnt, as opposed to a standard meal offering where just the handful is placed on the top of the mizbeach and the remainder, the shirayim, is eaten by the male kohanim. Not so in the case of a minchas kohen. A minchas kohen, the meal offering is taken in its entirety and put on the mizbeach without any handful being taken. In this case, we're dealing with the meal offering of a woman married to a kohen. So the Tanaic source tells us that the mincha is burnt. Ketzat. How is this to be understood or illustrated? Kohenes levia v'israelis sheniseis l'kohen. A woman, no matter from what group she comes, whether she's a daughter of a kohen, of a levi, or a yisraelis, and she happens to marry a kohen, ein minchos necheles. There is no part of her mincha which can be eaten, meshiyesh lo chelek ba, because her husband, the kohen, has a share in it. In other words, the money that's used to buy that mincha is money that comes from her husband's pocket, from the kohen's pocket. So he is paying for it. V'eina oila kolil, and it, on the other hand, is not placed in one shot on the altar. Mipnei sheyesh lo chelek bo, because she has a share in it. She is bringing it to atone for her own needs. And when it comes to someone that's not a Kohen, so then the procedure is going to be different than that of a Kohen. We mentioned in the case of a Kohen Mincha, the entire Mincha is put on the altar in one shot. But in the case of the woman married to a Kohen, so that is not what is going to happen, namely put on in one shot on in its entirety on the fire. Elo hakoymus korev biatzmo, the handful is taken off as you would do in a standard korban mincha, and that's offered on the altar by itself. Vashirayim kraven batzman, and the balance, that which remains, is put on the mizbeach by them by itself. So you have handful by itself, and then the balance, the remainder, by itself. The Gemara asks, how can you do that? Ikri kan, should you not refer to this, the following issue? Kol shehu mimenu leishim, any sacrifice that had the relevant portion or part put on the altar, whatever remains after that, harehu beval taktiru, it is forbidden to put the rest of the sacrifice on the altar. So once you remove the handful of the meal offering, which is the part of a meal offering that's designed to be put, le'ishim, ishim is the plural of the word eish, the fire of the mizbeach. So the balance, the Rosh Hashanah, is not to be put on the mizbeach. So how can this Tanaic source say that the mincha, the meal offering of a woman married to a kohen, not only is the handful put on the mizbeach by itself, but then the balance is also placed on the mizbeach? Is that not a problem of kol shu hu mimenu le'ishim ayru b'bal taktiv? Bal means do not offer it. Omer Rav Yehuda, braid Rav Shimon ben Pasi. This is approach number one. He says, as far as what should you do with the balance? Demasik lehu l'shum etzin. Now, the balance, as we mentioned, it can't be, the shirayim cannot be eaten because the meal offering is owned, in other words, or say it's paid for by the kohen. And a kohen mincha cannot be eaten. So what do you do with the shirayim? So Reb Yehuda ben Pasi, Reb Shimon Pasi says, you put it on the altar, but with a specific mindset. You're putting it as fuel. And that's based on Reb Elozer's teaching. That's Kireb Elozer, Desanya, Reb Elozer Omer. Reb Elozer explains that when we mentioned before that after the designed part of a korban is placed on the mizbeach, the balance is not to be placed on the mizbeach. However, when we say it's usur to place it on the mizbeach, that's if you're placing it as if it were itself a korban. What's the purpose of the korban? To create reach nichoach, to create a sense of pleasantness in the eyes of God. So Rabbi Loser explains, l'reach nichoach iatomale. You're not allowed to put it, the balance of korbanos on the mizbeach, for reach nichoach purposes. Reach nichoach literally means a pleasant smell in the pleasant aroma for the Almighty. Of course, this is all in human speech. Where the Almighty doesn't necessarily appreciate good smells, but it's placed for seeking the favor of the Almighty. That's the good smell arouses the good favor of Kodesh Baruch Hu toward us. So the idea that we mention is that when the design part of the sacrifice is put on the mizbeach, the balance cannot be placed. That's only if you're placing the balance. L'reach nicholach iatomale avalatamale u'leshum etzim. This, by the way, is all based on what it says in the psukim. You can notice the psukim we'd like to take note of are on the side of the Gemara. Vayikra Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and Pasuk Yud Beis. So let's read those two psukim. Number the first pasuk: Kol hamincha asher takrivu l'Hashem lo se'oseh chametz ki chol se'or v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu isheh l'Hashem. And pasuk Yud Beis: Korban reishis takrivu osam l'Hashem ve'el hamizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. So that we see from here that if you're doing it l'reach nichoach, then there is a prohibition. But if you're not doing it l'reach nichoach, then it's okay. The Gemara continues, ha nichol Rabbi Elozer de'is lei hai svara. So this explanation that works out, namely that you can allow placement of the balance of a sacrifice, in this case the meal offering, with fuel intent, that's only if you accept Rabbi Elozer's approach that places an emphasis on the pasuk that says the prohibition is when it's l'reach nichoach. But if the intention is for fuel, it would be okay. Elo l'rabbonon deles lehu hai svaramai. According to the rabbonon, that don't hold from Rabbi Elozer's analysis. So then, my ikar lemeimar, what is there to say? What are you going to do with the shirayim of a meal offering brought by the wife of a kohen? The Gemara answers, the avdi lehu k'Rabbi Elozer Reb Shimon. we will do with the shirayim of the meal offering that the Eishes Kohen brings, like that which Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says. And you'll see in this source, the Sanyo, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer, HaKoyim Itzkor V'Yatzma V'Ashirayim Ispazun Al Beis Hadeshen. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said his point in a different context. He was speaking about a sin meal offering brought by a Kohen. How is it dealt with? There's an argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold that a minchas chote of a Kohen is put in one shot. There's not even a kamitza done from it. It's put in one shot on the mizbeach, something that's unique to Kohanim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the minchas chote of a Kohen, as opposed to a voluntary meal offering of a Kohen, the minchas chote of a Kohen is subjected to the kmitza. That is done. The kmitza, the handful is offered on the fire. What do you do with the balance? The balance can't be eaten. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says what we saw in the source. They're mispazer al beis hadeshen. It's scattered. It sort of means it's burnt on the in the special fireplace for korbanos that are rendered unfit or pusel. In this case, the shirayim of a kohen's minchas chote cannot be eaten. So what do you do with it? Mispazon al beis hadeshen. What is the reason we're citing Reb Elazar ben Shimon? Because we're trying to address what would the Rabbanan do with the mincha of a woman married to a Kohen. The Eitzah, the idea of offer the balance on the Mizbeach itself as fuel, that will not work out according to those who disagree with Rebbe Elazar. So what do they say? What do you do? Let's continue then at the top of Omid Beis. V'yafilu Rabbanan lo pligi olei d'rabbis Rishimin, the idea of the Shirayim being mispazrin al beis hadeshen, the Rabbanan disagree, but even they who disagree, it's elo b'minchas choyte shel kehanim, debas hakrovahi. They disagree with him only with regard to the meal sin offering, because in their opinion, the entire mincha can be placed directly on in the fire of the mizbeach. Aval b'ha afilu rabbanan modu. But in this case, the mincha, the meal offering of a woman married to a kohen, they will agree the shirayim are mispazrin al beis hadeshen. So that is the solution. So if you just review the Gemara we've learned already, a woman married to a kohen, what is the way we process? How do we process her mincha? So there is a kmitza that is taken because it's a mincha on her behalf for her atonement. What do we do with the shirayim? Well, they can't be eaten. So we have two approaches. The first approach was Rabbi Yehuda Breid, Rabbi Shimon Pazi said, you put it on the mizbeach proper, but as fuel. And the second opinion, if you don't hold like Rabbi Elazar, then you would put it on the mizbeach. That is, the koimitz you will makriv on the mizbeach, and the shirayim are mispazrin abeis hadeshen. A quote from the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael Hanesua v'chulei. Mishnah went on to say, Kehenes shenises liYisrael, a daughter of a Kohen, but's married to a non-Kohen, minchoso ne'echeles. My taima, why do we say that the mincha of a Kehenes is ne'echeles as long as she's not married to a Kohen? And then, if she's married to a Kohen, so it can't be eaten. But nevertheless, it's not completely burnt in one shot on the mizbeach. So, my taima, why is it? Why is it like this? And I would say, why is it that only by the mincha of a kohen do we see it completely burnt? And not so in the case of the bas Yisrael, or I should say the kohenis that's married to a non-kohen. The Omar Kro, the whole minchas kohen kolil tielo sochal. the mincha brought by a kohen, a man who is a kohen, that is completely burnt and shall not be eaten. Kohen v'lo kohen. As you see, the inferences from the fact that the pasuk presents the kohen in the masculine form, the man kohen, then the mincha is completely burnt. Not so with regard to the mincha brought by a kohenes who's married to a non-kohen. Kohenes mischaleles, kohenein mischalel. As a result of forbidden relations, the daughter of a kohen can become ruined. She's not allowed to marry into the kahuna. She will be rendered unfit for consuming truma. This is true with the case of a kohenes that had relations with someone forbidden to her. A kohen, however, if he has relations with a woman forbidden to him, he remains personally unaffected. Minolon, from where do we learn this distinction? The Amar Kra, v'lo yichalel zaroi be'amov. There's a, the word yichalel appears as meaning profane, but there are two profanities, two profanings. One that's with reference to the woman, and the other to his seed, to his children. Pasuk then says, "Lo yichalel zar ba'amov, zaro mischalel, v'hu eino mischalel." He, that's the seed, the children, are subject to becoming mechulalim, but he, the original kohen, does not. He's not mischalel, even though he might have been involved with a forbidden. Forbidden intimacy. Kohenes mitama lemesim. We said that the kohenes, she's the daughter of a kohen. She's allowed to defile herself to the dead. My time off. Why is it that the restriction doesn't extend to her? Omar kro emor el hakohenim bnei Aaron. This is the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Emor, which introduces the laws of Kohanim and their restrictions to defilement to the dead. So the pasuk says, address the Kohanim b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron, the sons of Aaron and not the daughters. So the restriction that's featured in it, in that pasuk, and while Kohanim, it's a restriction focused upon the b'nei Aaron, not a restriction on the b'nos Aaron, the daughters that are descended from Aaron. The male kohanim eat from the sacrifices that are called kodshei kodshim, the high level sanctity. Dichtiv kol zochor b'vnei Aaron yochleno. The emphasis on the word zochor, all the menfolk of the kahuna can eat from kodshei kodshim. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a nosei, a topic heading, Makoros lehevdilim hashnuyim b'mishnah bein ish l'isha. From this point on, the Gemara will deal with the sources for the difference between men and women, as were taught in the Mishnah. Before we continue with the Gemara text itself, we turn our attention to the other margin where we have psukim from Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Gimel, psukim Mem Dalid and Mem Hei. The psukim come from the topic of tzoras. And in Pasuk Mem Dalid it says, Ish tzoruahu tomehu, and etc. And in Pasuk Mem Hei it says, Vahat tzoruah shirboi hanega Begodov you frumim veroshio perua, etc. So now we turn to the Gemara. Uma bein ish vechulei tonu rabbanon ish tsorua hu ein li elo ish. From the pasuk, it would seem that tsoras affects only men. Isha minayin. How do I know that tsoras has applicability to women as well, that they can be affected by tzoras with all its halachic ramifications? Kishuomer v'hatzurua sherbo, in Pasuk Mem Hei, the expression is v'hatzurua sherbo, means, and the tzorua that has in him this and this. Harei kan shnayim, this indicates that there is an additional type of or there's an additional one affected by tzaras beyond the man that was already mentioned in Pasuk Mem Dalet. So that indicates that there are two. There's a man and a woman. Im kein ma tamo lomar ish. So if women are included, what is the purpose of specifying a man, a male? Linyan shelamato. Ish porea and not velo ha'isha. Regarding that which is mentioned in the continuation of the pasuk, namely the halacha regarding hair growth and the rending of garments. With regard to that aspect of tzaras practice, only men, not women. Hoish madiras beno benozir vein hoisha madiras beno benozir. A father has the power to impose nazirus on his son. A mother does not. Omar Rabbi Yochanan halacha he benozir. This difference is a function of an oral tradition. Halacha la Moshe Misinai. An oral tradition that was given to Moshe from Har Sinai. There is no explicit scriptural reference to it, but it's part of an oral tradition. Ha'ish megalech al nazirus ovi v'ein ha'isha megalachas al nazirus ovi. A son can benefit from the father's sacrifices that he, the father, had set aside for his nazirus, but never ended up using because he died. But a daughter does not benefit in that way from her father's nazirus korbanus. Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha he benazir. This too is an oral tradition. Ha'ish mekadesh es bita ve'en ha'isha mekadesh es bita. A father only, not a mother. A father can has the power, has the Torah ordained power to marry off his daughter to someone, but a mother does not. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, we're picking up a little bit before the pasuk printed in the Chumash. We've written between the lines. It says, "V'omar avi hanara el hazekenim, esbiti nosati leish hazeh," etc. In that pasuk, in the parsha which deals with the topic of motzi shemra, the father tells the sages, tells the judges, "I gave my daughter over in marriage to this man." So, without getting into the whole parsha of motzi shemra. Nevertheless, you see that it's the father that is the one that is saying that he had given her his daughter over in marriage. Father, but not mother. Ho'ish moicheres bito v'ein ho'isha moicheres es bito, dichtiv, as the posik indicates, that namely, that a father has the power to sell his daughter into servitude, but not a mother. Ki yimkor ish es bito, when a father sells his daughter. Father, not mother. Ho'ish niskal orum v'chulei my time. Oh, why is it that a man, when he is subject to the punishment of stoning, he is stoned unclothed, but a woman not so? My time. Oh, the pasuk says v'rogmu oisoi my oisoi. When it says v'rogmu, it means they will stone him. What's the purpose of identifying the victim as him? My oisoi, ilema oisoi v'loi oisa. If you were to think that it means that only a man is subject to the penalty of stoning and not a woman, let's say a woman would knowingly violate Shabbos or any other offense that carries with it a penalty of stoning. What, a woman is not subject to stoning? The pasuk says explicitly, the man who is the offender or the woman who is the offender is taken out to be stoned. Ela, rather, the purpose of the word oso in the pasuk v'rogmu oso tells me oso velo ksuso velo oso velo ksuso. It is him. He is stoned, implying him without anything else on him. Him, the man, is stoned unclothed, not a woman. Ho'ish mitle v'ein v'chulei. After stoning, after the court execution of stoning, the pasuk speaks about the body being suspended on a pole for all to see. That halacha, and by that halacha also entails the immediate burial. It's put up on the pole momentarily before sundown and then buried. But that process applies to a man who's executed, not a woman. It says, as the Pasuk says, let's read the Gemara, my time, Omar Kro, Vitalisa Oisoi Aloes. Oso Velo Oso. Again, we infer from the masculine form, he is hung, is suspended, not the woman. Hoish Nimkar Beginevosa, Veno Isha Nimkaris Beginevosa. If they commit a theft and cannot repay it, so the offender is sold into servitude, that's a man, not a woman, even though it's obviously forbidden for a woman to commit thievery, but in the event that she does and cannot pay back, she is not sold into servitude. My time, Omar Krovinim Kar Beginevosoi. This is in the masculine form, and he will be sold as a result of his theft, and we infer Beginevoso for his act of thievery, below Beginevoso not for hers. As you can see, we've come to the end of the third perek of Maseches Sota. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.